Hi, everyone. I'm Taylor. I'm going to be reading the Bible for us. And as Phil said, if you can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I think it's on page 805 of your pew Bibles. Okie dokes. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
I've been thinking back to all of the baptisms I've been to in my life and trying to work out what they all have in common. I've been to baptisms at the beach, baptisms in rivers, baptisms in backyard swimming pools, baptisms at Olympic swimming pools, baptisms at the church. And what I've noticed they all have in common is the massive smile on people's faces when they come out of the tank. And the way that that is contagious and everyone around shares in the joy. Here's a photo of my baptism. You can see I was pretty excited that day. I've never been a particularly excitable person. But here we have my mum's amazing hairdo from the 80s. You can tell it's the 80s. And she was a little embarrassed that I was going to show you that photo, but I reassured her she has the most amazing hairdo. Don't you reckon? It's great. I'll tell her you said so. Today, not much has changed. I'm not the most excitable person in my family. But I am excited for today because my whole year kind of leads to this. My role at the church here is to help people look into Jesus, and genuinely, nothing makes me happier than when people say, I follow Jesus and want to get baptized. What a day. How exciting is this day? So I think baptisms are amazing, but not everyone thinks the same as me. I was at uni with this guy called Rusman, and Rusman's come from overseas. He's like excited. Oh, I'm getting baptized. He wanted to announce to us all. We were all excited for him. But then his parents, they weren't so happy about it. They flew from overseas to come. They, talked to him. They said, come on, don't get baptized. You're out of your mind. They went and visited the ministry team at the church and said, you've brainwashed my child. He's out of his mind. And I was ready to like step in. He's not out of his mind. He's just been changed by the love of Christ. This is amazing. But one of the people who runs the church there said, no, actually, I think the parents kind of get it. Like, they realize the magnitude or the significance of this moment. This child of theirs is committing to following Jesus, marking it, sealing it with their baptism, declaring it to the world, and their lives will never be the same again. And that's true. Rusman, his life has changed, and he went on and got baptized. And some people think he's a little bit crazy because of his choice. I pick up 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we're in our right mind, it is for you. So the guy who wrote this, the Apostle Paul, he was often thought of as being a bit crazy, a bit mad, because he was pretty fixated. The Apostle Paul, he went around from country to country, city to city, place to place, making speeches about Jesus, saying everyone should follow Jesus. It's the best news in the world. And he kind of copped a lot for it. He went, was beaten up. He was put in prison. He pushed through sleeplessness and all kinds of riots and all kinds of issues. So some people thought, who is this guy? He's out of his mind. And this is what Christians kind of have in common, is that some people think we're a little bit mad. Some people think we're a little bit crazy. Because we worship an invisible God, and we say, I want to follow a man who died 2,000 years ago. That's a bit weird, isn't it? The Apostle Paul says, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If a Christian is out of their mind, it is for God. A Christian is someone who worships God and wants to honor God with their life, wants to follow God. And so if they're a little bit different from the people around them, they're being sincere to their heart. That's a good thing, right? We like it when people are sincere. So if a Christian is a little bit different, it's a sign of their sincerity that they worship God, that there is a God that they want to follow. Another reason Christians are a little bit different is because they're compelled by the love of Christ. Verse 14 on the screen, for Christ's love compels us. This says literally, Christ's love controls us. And so if you're heading in this direction in life, along comes Christ's love. It turns us around, sends us in a different direction. It hems us in, it propels us forward, and it guides us. Christ's love controls us. This is the power of love. Love has the ability to turn people's lives around. So I want to try and illustrate that for you with an everyday story, just a typical example, just from, you know, life. I don't know if you follow Humans in New York, but throughout, I just saw this on Instagram, you know, Humans in New York often posting different photos, telling stories of just everyday people who are walking around New York City. They just say, hey, tell us your story. And they put up a photo and they often put some quotes, things from their life. And I stumbled across this guy. The guy on the left here, he shared the story of when he was in his 20s on a holiday with some mates. And in his words, we started playing a little footy on the beach, but then we noticed three girls out on a floating dock. So we decided to swim out there. The water was really cold. And about halfway to the dock, I Charlie horsed in both my legs and started to sink. The idea is he cramped up and he's actually literally sinking in the cold, cold water. I thought for sure I was going to drown. When I woke up, I was lying on the dock and one of those girls was staring down at me. Apparently, she'd seen me go under, jumped in her brother's boat, and pulled me out by the hair. That girl's name was Dolores. She saved my life in August of 1952, and she saved me again and again for the next 64 years. We raised our four children together. Not only was she my wife, but she was also my mentor. I was just a kid from Montana. She turned me into a good person. Her personality, her love, I'm talking deep love for me and the children, changed me one inch at a time. I like that story. It's a picture of the power of love. It changes people. And I like the ending about her love changes me one inch at a time. It's kind of like this daily renewal as they keep seeking to live out that love. And I think it has a lot of good, you know, parallels with Jesus. That's why I raise it. It's a good analogy for the love of Christ. He reaches down. He saves us while we're drowning in sin. He pulls us out and he gives us new life. He fills us with his love. And he's always there with us so that his love is changing us one inch at a time, day by day, bit by bit, as we seek to live out from his love. So what I really want to know is, in a room like this, got a great number of people here tonight, have you experienced the love of Christ? We've got people coming tonight as guests, looking in maybe. My question is, have you experienced the love of Christ? Because Paul says that the love of Christ is for everyone. He says it's for all. I'm picking up the passage where it says, we are convinced that one died for all. For all means who? Well, it means for all of us. Christ died for all types of people. He died for people with all kinds of different backstories, cultural backstories, and he died for people no matter how far off track or how unloved we sometimes feel. Christ's love is for all. Why did he die? Verse 19. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. In other words, Jesus is come from heaven with as God's plan of reconciliation. Jesus is the one who reaches into our life to reconcile us to God. And if I could take the analogy of drowning in sin, sin is the issue that Jesus comes to address. Sin is the problem that creates a conflict with God. Sin is the reason God feels distant. Sin is the reason we have conflicts with each other. Sin is the reason we start wars. Sin is the reason that we have a problem relating to God. Jesus comes into the world, reaches down and saves us. Verse 21, God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin. Jesus didn't sin. He's the one person in world history that was without sin, morally perfect. He was the man who lived for God, lived for God's will, never turned aside or pushed back against God, followed God, and was the kind of person that you would want to follow. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. He volunteered to take our sins. He became sin for us. If I could stretch the analogy, it's as if instead of us drowning, Jesus comes down to save us. He drowns in our sin so that we could be raised in his righteousness, to be saved into the boat, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's as if we are sitting in the boat, saved, wrapped with a nice white towel of Christ's righteousness, because he took our sin and buried it so that we could be raised up and have reconciliation with God, a pure relationship with God, no guilty conscience, free access to be able to go to God, pray to God, not feel ashamed, but to come without the burden of sin. And so this is the experience of Christ's love that is available for everyone, no matter how you feel about yourself, even if you've come from a hard upbringing or you've had difficult circumstances and you haven't felt loved. At times, we've all gone through experiences where there's a lack of love in our life, but there is always the love of Christ. Wherever you are, it's his love for all, because Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I just want to pause and relate this back to baptism. Here at the end, it talks about Jesus dying and rising again. And if you think of the Easter story, Jesus dies on a cross, he gets buried, and on the third day he rises. If you think about baptism in water, you go under and you come out again. And Jesus was drowned the 3 days in the grave and then rose from the dead. We're not going to hold anyone under for 3 days, but baptism represents going under and dying with Jesus and coming up with new life. And you come through washed. You die to who you were, the old self is gone. You rise to life in Jesus, joining in one spirit, one body, one baptism. You join the people of God. This is the power of Christ's love. I just want to pause for a second. We're going to get to baptism soon, but I just want to call out an elephant in the room. I reckon I've said the word sin more than 15 times in the last 10 minutes. And this is what I've noticed, is when a preacher gets up on a stage like this and He can say a lot of things and speak about a lot of different things like love. But, you know, between all the jargon and people tune in and out a little bit, somehow what I've noticed over the years is that the word sin seems to just yell a little bit louder at everyone. And people sit there and think, ah, he's judging me. And a preacher says, sin, and you hear, ah, this is so negative. I'm being judged. He thinks he's better than me. But I want to flip the script on that and say that's not what I'm saying, and that's not the message of Jesus. When you hear sin, you're actually meant to hear of the love of Jesus because he became sin for you. When you hear sin, you're meant to hear mercy. Christians are so weird that they sing songs about sin. Like putting some lyrics on the screen here, check this one out. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Christians are singing about sin because Christ takes it away. There's no judgment from the preacher. The preacher is one in sin with everyone, as we all need the mercy of Christ, the love of Christ. And so what I want you to hear, if you're a guest today, is Christ loves you. There is forgiveness, reconciliation, and mercy available if you come to Christ. Well, I'm going to move into a story as I finish up, and I just want to invite band to start making your way up because we're going to sing after this story. Across the day, we've had the best day. We've been baptizing people at a few times through the day. In the morning congregation, we had a variety of people get on stage and then get baptized. And we've had all ages and stages. And this is a real unifying moment for us as a church to see all of that diversity. There was a lady who got on stage this morning called Paula, and she professed faith in Christ. I want to read to you her story because I think it captures a lot of the things that we're talking about today in a beautiful story. Let me read it. As a young child, I felt as though I had a direct telephone line to Jesus. I'd speak or think or act, and he answered with the gentleness and warmth of an adoring parent. A presence that settled straight into my heart. His voice tender, patient, and full of love. I grew up Catholic and called myself a Christian. But the older I became, the more the telephone line crackled and faded, the voice on the other end changed. Instead of love, I heard disappointment. Instead of acceptance, I heard judgment. So I stopped calling. Thinking about Jesus made me feel ashamed. I stopped going to church, stopped listening to the weekly reminders that I was destined for hell. Without understanding the true meaning of his sacrifice, I couldn't see anything but my own failure and the failures of humanity. The cross felt like a reminder of how cruel we are, not how loved we are. It took 25 years before I finally answered his call again. And there he was, the same as he'd been in childhood, a direct line to my heart. Never engaged, never unanswered. The voice was gentle again, proud even. And for the first time, I understood the depth and purpose of his sacrifice. No wonder he waited. He loves me. He wanted me, not my perfection, not my performance, but me. And so I live for him, not in grand gestures, but in the quiet daily rhythm of words, thoughts, and actions shaped by his presence. This is what it looks like to have your life changed by the love of Christ. And we want to lift our hearts and sing about the love of Christ. Today, we want to celebrate the love of Christ, the grace of God, that Jesus came to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God.